Okay, I think we're getting ready here. I'll try to keep the introduction real brief again. But just a small story. I volunteered to chair this this session on an area I really care about. I looked at the speakers. I've known Tom in Virginia for years. I met Dan when he was at Santa Barbara last time. But I wasn't familiar with our next speaker until I looked at her address, and she's about, maybe 20 blocks away from my house. And today, or last night, I got to meet her and her husband, Thornton. Annie Haggart is a, in her normal paying job, is a psychiatric social worker in Philadelphia. She's been a vocalist for 40 years in Asia, Australia, and of course the US. The material she's gonna use in her presentation called Stereotypes of Women in Early American Popular Music, 1850s to 1930s, but you would have known that when you saw it here, and that's the reason you came, is using music from the Vernacular Music Archive in Philadelphia of her husband, Thornton Haggart. Annie Haggart.
Okay, thank you. What I want to talk about today are some of the stereotypes that women were given and utilized as they were performing and about music that was done in the, from about the 1850s on. So we're talking, I'm going to be talking some about the women performers. I'm going to be talking some about what the audience was interested in hearing about and listening to, and also some of the characters that were portrayed in the music. There's a huge change, obviously, occurring from about the 1850s up to the 1920s. And I want to talk a little bit about why I studied who I did. There's one study of a book done on women performers, and it very nicely shows what some of the working class life was like for people on the stage and working in the performance fields during this time. Of 80 women headliners in vaudeville, this was a study done of people who were headliners from 1873 to 1919. 80% of them came from broken families. They were age average 17 when they started performing on the stage. Two-thirds of them were married more than once. They usually married someone in the performing field. Two-thirds of them were firstborn. One-fifth of them did not complete elementary school. One-half of them died in poverty. Two-thirds of them never had children. One-half of them were Irish or Jewish. So here we have the performers that were obviously not the middle class or upper middle class genteel girls of the day. That these were people who had taken onto the road of performance as a way to survive, oftentimes having suffered adversity. I want to talk some about the shifts that were occurring about this time. Huge cultural changes were occurring. 1914, there were 11 states in America where women could vote. All of them were west of the Mississippi. So that for many of the people who were traveling across America, who were coming out of the Northeast, many of them were more forward-thinking and were trying to have more of an impact as women, as voters. There were huge population changes. Not only were there millions of migrants coming into New York and the East Coast and being pushed west, there were also people coming up from the South, particularly African Americans, who had heard that there were opportunities for jobs in the city. The cities were mostly in the Northeast and in the Midwest and in the North, and there were huge migrations of new, different kinds of people creeping into the Midwest. There was an 1880 Homestead Act that also gave Eastlanders an opportunity to move. So that the idea of the village, the idea of the rural farming community, was being upset by these foreigners, by these people who were different colors, who spoke differently, who ate differently, who treated their children differently, and were very threatening to the standard farmer, rural person. Transportation changes, like we talked about. Early on, there was the steamships and the canals. A lot of music came out of those industries that were pushing people to different areas. The Mississippi went down to New Orleans, It branched off to St. Louis, and there was another branch of the Ohio River that went to Pittsburgh. So that steamboats were producing, moving people out too. The railroads were occurring. There were 4 to 5 transcontinental railways now set up across the nation. Technologically, huge changes. This was the time where the railroads, touring balloons, the telephones, lights, bicycling, sewing machine, roller skates were invented. Rural federal delivery started in 1879, we think. I'm not sure that date exactly. And that produced those marvelous catalogs that we all give our children for Christmas, the reprints of. So technologically, people were hearing about new ways to communicate. Communication was faster and swifter. Political shifts were occurring. After the Civil War, there was a kind of music that, not just folk music, but there was a kind of music that was popular, that was played in houses, that might be played in church halls. Stephen Foster is one person I'm going to talk about who had two different views of women that he liked to portray. There was a lot of death and a real awareness of how much death permeated people's lives, and it was seen in the music of that time. A lot of sentimental ballads, a lot of notion of longing, of loss, of people trying to cope with all of these changes that were pushing on them, that were requiring them to be more liberal, more open, and to change their view of the life of life. So who better to hearken back to if you're a little upset by the changes is the idealized woman. Here we have Stephen Foster doing his genteel ballad. This isn't him singing, this is a re-recording. Best girl, right? Obviously, a not very realistic view of most of the women that people were working with or dealing with at that time. I want to talk some about the venues of where some of these songs would be seen. Early on in the saloons, there were very few women performers. Women were hired as hostesses. They could be sort of spiffed up, and finally they got the idea that sometimes they could perform and sing some of the songs. The minstrels that were very melodramas or moral cosmetics were very easy to have stereotyped views, very predictable stereotypes. There could be the sainted mother who was sweet and befuddled and going to lose the property, sometimes a dad, or there was the angelic young girl, and then the baddies, the bad guys. Finally, in the variety shows, in minstrel shows, all of the performers were men. They did have stereotypes of women, both black women and white women, but they were very racist and they were very sexist, and they were based on the notion of a wench, the notion of a foolish child who could sing a funny song. The fact that many of the minstrel songs reflected this about people as men as well, or particularly African American men as well, was certainly part of the issue. Variety shows, when they started, came out of the minstrel shows where headliners began to perform, and in variety shows that then led into burlesque, you began to have brother acts. From brother acts, you could have a brother and sister act. From a sister, brother and sister act, you could then have women as novelty performing. Almost always, though, the audience was male. That these women were seen as fallen women who were performers. They were seen as naughty and not controlled by men. And that they could portray and quickly learned it was very important to establish a notion of themselves as exotic and push their personality in a way that would make them a headliner. The burlesque that we're talking about here later turned into striptease, but oftentimes at this point was really just a common production where music would be performed, there might be some shows. So it was very important that the women begin to adapt characters that could be, that would sell. That they have music that they performed, that they became associated with, that talked about a certain image. Here is another Stephen Foster song. This was not the genteel ballad. This was considered more of a folk song, and it was sung in a very different way than that lyrical throat voice. This is a different open throat voice.
I see my hand line up in springtime and the fall. I've seen her in the cornfield and I've seen her at the ball. And every time I met her, she smiled like the sun. But I'm left here to weep the tears and your line is gone. And your line, baby girl, oh, and your line is gone. Left me here to weep the tears and beat on the old jawbone.
Not quite Jeannie with the light brown hair. Oh, there's Angelina. Sorry. Let's look at now the stereotypes that were beginning to occur in variety shows in vaudeville. There were two kinds of girls. The first one were the non-sexual good girls. They oftentimes were innocent. They were oftentimes a victim in need of protection. They didn't have a brother or a father around to protect them. And if they had been sexualized, it was they had been victimized. The other kind of woman was the bad woman. This was oftentimes how minorities were seen, how African American women were seen, how immigrant women were seen, how fat women were seen. If you weren't young and beautiful, you were maybe sexual. And even they were pretty. But they were very dangerous. So we're going to talk some about that most wonderful of all women, mom, mother. Mother represented the angel of the house. You could not hurt her. She was never going to expect too much of you. You had to be kind to her. You wanted to be loyal to her and protect her. But she was never going to ask too much of you, like those bad sexual girls. Oftentimes, mother was dead or gone. That made her a lot more easy to please. She was a migrant. Many of the songs had to do with mothers who were back in Ireland or in Eastern Europe or Italy, and they were really wonderful. So there were a lot of songs about mothers, and you're going to see, I'm going to show you some sheet music here, and you're going to see that there's a little confusion about mothers with sweethearts, and we're going to talk about sweethearts next. But I wanted you to see some of the sheet music renditions and some of the songs you might recognize that are portrayals of mother at this time. This isn't an original perception, but we were told this one time that if you look at all of the sheet music, the mothers are about 90 years old. They all have gray hair up in buns. There's not a young, delightful one, and that they're all poor old biddies just on the way out. And kind of sweet. And what I have here is Belle Baker singing Baby Your Mother the way she babied you.
Mm-hmm. Now, baby, your mother just...
Now, don't you feel guilty? Be offering therapy sessions later for any of you. You might have noticed on that last one, two sweethearts have I, and he's standing there looking at his mother as the sweetheart is there. As my husband had pointed out, one of the best things about sweethearts is they become mothers somehow. They never lose their charm, but they become a mother somehow. So like the mother, the sweetheart, oh, what a lovely old-fashioned girl she was. No pressure, just loyal, no sexual demands, no knowledge about that kind of life, a good girl. And she had no power other than she could make you feel guilty. Here's a more highfalutin sweetheart, but she had golden flaxen hair and right eyes like the cornfield of blue and yellow. A truly good girl. This was a good girl. She wasn't going to do the grizzly bear like we saw. She wasn't going to let you touch her. She would not be someone who would be interested in any of those newfangled ragtime dances. She wouldn't do any dance that involved touching you. Now here's a variation, the poor waif. This young girl has not had protection. One of the best songs from this, and when I do, I'm not going to sing today, but one of the best songs to sing for this is She's More to be Pitied than Censured. But here we have the poor waif. It's not her fault. She has been victimized. She was not protected. She's disconnected, oftentimes poor, obviously the kind of girl that was more visible in a city where there were slums and ghettos and places where poor people would gather. Now, moving up the scale, we have the soiled dove. This oftentimes, too, was not her fault. She might have been led astray by someone bad, and she's more to be pitied than censured. It was a man who had caused all of her problems. Oftentimes, there's issues around substance abuse or alcohol that has led her to this problem. I want to look now at some of the variations of roles that are going on. The gold digger was someone who was willing to do whatever she could do to move up the scale. And of course, the best way for a girl to do that would be to be sexual or through marriage. And we're going to go on to talk about the chorus girl and the it girl and the flapper. But here is a 1911 version of the gold digger. Beauty was sold for an old man's gold. She wasn't happy. It was her own fault for being greedy. Here's the gold digger later on. You're just the kind of girl they like to play with. You're not like the kind they choose to grow old and gray with. Poor Dolores Costello. As you see, we're now moving a little bit later. This is more of a flapper.
All right, I'm going to turn that on later.
Now we have that other next kind of bad girl. Good, it's gone. The chorus girl. Well, already suspect because they'd gone into the performing world and the music world. They were working girls. They'd left mother behind. They were in the chorus, but obviously had any hopes and were willing to do whatever they could do to move up and possibly snag either a good role or a good man. Pretty lascivious, right? Before the chorus girl, there were performances that were done that were involved non-movement. And a woman who stood on the stage and didn't move, which was called tableau vivant, was considered nude if they had tights on. And so it was very important that the tights, even though they were seen as a problem, be there. They were required by law to not move. So that the chorus girls were a big step up. They could move, they could sing, they could dance, and they could wear tights. Now, here's the chorus girl at her worst. And again, it was my husband Tony that pointed this out. In this song, they were rolling their stockings, right? They might roll their customers. They were rolling a cigarette here, or even worse, it could be marijuana. And remember the sweetheart? Well, this is the sweetheart now in the 20s. Nobody's sweetheart. She painted her lips and her eyes, and she wore a paradise. They said it all seemed so wrong somehow that she's nobody's sweetheart. She's a flapper. Now, the Chicago, here's another variation of the bad sexual girl. 1893, the Chicago Exposition, they had the tent that was set up the streets of Cairo. The Board of Lady Managers did a protest and tried to close this palace down because there was an Algerian woman named Alicia Wabe who did a dance called Salome and the Seven Veils. This was from Oscar Wilde's book that had to do with the notorious non-Christian Salome. This became the rage. There were Salomes everywhere, all doing exotic dances and what they termed to be some sort of exotic dance. On the Chicago Exposition, you were portrayed, your presentation was done based on your ethnicity. And within the tents were the WASP, the British, the Teutonic, all of the white groups were seen within the tent. As your skin got darker, your shows were moved outside onto the midway. So Salome was outside on the midway. Florence Ziegfeld, in The Follies of 1907, had a successful act done by Mademoiselle Daisy, where she did a wonderful Salome dance. She was actually Daisy Peterkin from Detroit. Daisy made it. Hammerstein had Gertrude Hoffman do the Dance of the Seven Veils in 1908. It toured the country. The Hartford, Connecticut Courant said, Miss Hoffman had on, above the waist, first a black wig and a good makeup, second a lot of jewelry and chains, and there is no third. In Des Moines, Iowa, Gertrude Hoffman's dance was such a scandal that there was a law passed rendering it illegal for a woman to kick her legs higher than 45 degrees. Daisy Peterkin opened a dancing school in Brooklyn and was turning out 150 Salomes a week. So it got so notorious that there would be takeoffs of it. Here's a wonderful song about poor Sadie Cohen in Brooklyn wanting to be a Salome and being told, Sadie, don't do that dance. This all had to do with the vamp, the idea of the vampire, which was very similar to the notion of the Red Hot Mama. The Red Hot Mama was blatantly sexual, challenging, non-respectful, and would not be controlled. There's the Red Hot Mama. I want to play a Red Hot Mama song that employed at something used oftentimes by women, which was the double entendre. You all laughing at that. The wronged woman was the red hot mama who was mad or sad. She was in great possibility of being retributive. She could be jealous. She was going to get you. And somehow it was sort of your own fault. Here's a wronged woman. One part of this was the blues, and I want to end with a short film clip of Bessie Smith singing an excerpt of St. Louis Blues, that this was the sad woman. This was the woman who had, for whatever reasons, been hurt and disappointed and was now singing about this. The blues, at some point, they realized that this was going to sell and the race records became very important. And what I want to say before I show the final clip is that for me, women represented the unconscious. Women, all of these changes were a way that women could change what was happening in the society, and that they reflected some of what was socially peripheral and could get away with it and could influence the society by doing their performances. Particular thing I need to do for the video. Yeah. I don't know why it isn't coming up. There. Phew.
Hit the arrow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Double click.
I want to end with that, the St. Louis woman, and end with this video, and thank you for your attention.
That was great. I hated to cut Annie off, but the buses will be waiting to get us back tomorrow. I hope everybody comes back tomorrow. I'm assuming most people are here for the whole conference. We should have an incredible morning tomorrow with some more rare Edison recordings, this time on a real tinfoil, and hearing from the first sounds about the oldest historic moment that's been replayed.